This is from the November 3rd, 2019 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon.
Version. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 17. Jesus is in the midst of some sayings, and they are unsurprisingly challenging, as they often are when Jesus is saying things. But listen anyway, for inspiration and for the hope also contained therein. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come. But woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown in the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, rebuke the offender, and if there's repentance, you must forgive. And if that very same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times a day and says, 'I repent, I'm sorry,' you must forgive." And the disciples, the apostles, said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." But the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to a mulberry or sycamore tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, there used to be an apple tree in my backyard. The house where I grew up in Iowa had a seedling apple tree. My father planted it at the bottom of a hill. And then one winter I went sledding on that hill. I saw the tree. It was in my path. I hit it anyway. It didn't even break my stride. It just kept right on going. It didn't even slow the sled down. The uprooted little apple tree was just a branch in my hand. I tried to replant it in a snowdrift. Later that day, my dad said, "Tree don't grow in a snowdrift," which is how I knew he had found it.
Meanwhile, in that very same backyard, there is an oak tree that, as far as I know, is still there. It is planted about the same time as the apple tree, and its trunk is about as straight and tall as it gets. And I would not want to hit it on my sled. And the difference between those two trees, that makes me think of the gospel reading for this morning and for the hope that I think is there for us. The Gospel of Luke, the apostles, they say, increase our faith. And what they're asking to do, what they want from Jesus, I think is a couple of things. First of all, they want to stay rooted in their faith and they want to send out new shoots of growth. And they think what they need is more faith. But that's not exactly where Jesus responds. The apostles, they don't want to end up like the apple tree, uprooted and stuck in a snowdrift. They want to be strong like that oak tree. The difference between the two trees, one stayed rooted, the other didn't. The gospel reading for this morning, Jesus says, just the tiniest little seed of faith can uproot a whole tree. So maybe you don't need more, but you need faith. And maybe what you have, you need to use. I mean, Jesus says faith the size of a mustard seed can uproot a mulberry or sycamore tree, depending on your translation. It doesn't take much real faith, but it takes real faith. And maybe we don't believe in ours, or we don't use ours. Faith is not something to just sort of keep in there. I mean, you gotta, faith is a way of life. It's not a belief. I mean, a mustard seed's pretty small. And a sycamore tree has a lot of roots. So that little faith the size of this little old seed can uproot the tree, is what Jesus says. And you know mustard plants have thousands of seeds per plant. So you're not out there all alone, one poor little mustard seed. There's thousands of little mustard seeds on every plant. Every church, every community, every family, every communion of saints. Think what all those seeds piled up together could do if a little mustard seed. And faith, like a mustard seed, is not about how much you have. It's about how much we have and whether we're willing to be faithful with it. And if we really believe that we're God's. I mean, it's not about the amount of faith. Jesus says it only takes this much, and the apostles don't feel adequate. They say, increase our faith, and it seems like what they want is more of what they have. Right? Increase our faith. We want more of what we have. But maybe what they need is actually something else than what they have. They need something real. I mean, look back at the story and see what I mean. And maybe that leads you to something even deeper. I mean, what is faith? What does that mean? Faith. Increase our faith. Belief? What? In God? Look back at the story. Jesus has just been talking to them about forgiveness. Uh-oh. Because we all have forgiveness worked out, right? Jesus says, forgive your brother 7 times a day. I mean, that is a lot of times. The same dude, not 7 different people. That'd get old, wouldn't it? I mean, it takes a certain kind of faith to be able to do. But what the apostles need more of isn't faith, they need more forgiveness. That's what Jesus seems to be saying. Just a tiny little grain of faith, real faith, you could really forgive, is what Jesus seems to say. But the repetition of the whole thing over and over, life's problems and sin and mistakes every day, it's very difficult. We keep making mistakes. And some people even repent. And a few people even forgive. But to keep that up, to really believe and really love and really be in relationship over time with God and each other, that takes some faith. It's kind of like a boy that I read about one time who learned the word duck. Okay, so there's this little boy, and he loves ducks. He just loves ducks. And he's so fascinated by ducks, and he sits and watches the ducks, and they fly overhead, and he looks at them, and he just loves them. Wow! He says, wow. It's all he knows how to say. Cranes his neck. Well, his dad thinks this is great, and he watches his son's fascination. So eventually his dad thinks, I should teach the kid the word duck. So he teaches him the word duck. But then after a while, the kid stops looking at the duck. Because he knows the word duck. He's mastered the duck. He can move on to something else. Now it's just another duck. Duck. He doesn't even look up. He says duck. All the ducks, all the same. One more. Forgiveness. One more day. One more mistake. The psychologist Piaget said that once the bird gets named bird, it loses its birdness. I mean, part of the point of all this is to stay in it, to stay present to your life and to each other. It's kind of like saying repetition dulls life. Well, maybe it does. Anybody? Same day. I've lived this day before, haven't I? Oh, well, another day, same old thing. How do you keep fresh and sharp and real is part of what's going on in this text today. Particularly when there's mistakes involved and forgiveness. I mean, keeping fresh and sharp and real is where faith comes in. Don't lose faith means stay alive, stay awake. Because you're going to lose a whole lot more. You lose birds and ducks and people and experiences. You lose your life. Life involves repeating things. And it involves doing things new and fresh. Sometimes they're the same things. I mean, does anybody want to stop celebrating Christmas and Halloween and 4th of July and Easter because we did them before? We do them every year. No, of course not. We're going to repeat things. Think of all the great words with re in them. Repeat. Renovate, rekindle, remember, repent, restore, renew, reform, rejuvenate. This might be your chance today, because you're here listening to this, to recapture your faith one more time. And if you feel like you need a redo, ask yourself this. What would it be like to have the excitement of the first time again? Well, on this All Saints Day, we look back at the lives of people that maybe help us know how to do that a little bit. We hold up on this Sunday past leaders, especially over the years. We've done this remembering each year. But I want to renew our redo this year a little bit. And the way we're renewing the redo is we're talking about leadership and people who've led us in faith. We remember all kinds of things. But how do we remember the people who've led us and follow them? On this All Saints Day, we're remembering future leaders, maybe in a new way, by thinking of past leaders. We've been doing this for a long time, right? Plymouth Church. 60 years ago in October, we were chartered as a Presbyterian congregation, and there have been a lot of notable leaders in that time. By the way, the Presbyterian Church has been ordaining women for exactly 60 years as well. Isn't that an interesting coincidence? Same amount of time that we've been a church. So, some of the people that I mentioned today, and I'm going to mention them now, are still alive. Some played a part, they played a part in the early years in the 1960s at Plymouth Church, and so they provide a context then for the people we remember who died, and that's part of why we tell these stories. So, October 1959, the very first Reverend Hutchinson, well, not the very first probably, but the first one from this church, a group of people and Reverend Hutchinson from the Congregational Church in downtown Old St. Helens chartered this Presbyterian congregation. It's been 60 years since then, and now a very different Reverend Hutchinson, me, celebrates the anniversary with you. I am no repeat of the first one. Any of you who knew him know that. I've never met him, but I'm pretty sure it's true. I've been told. Anyway. But the thing is, we can be inspired by the people that went before us. Because we're rooted and we're trying to do new things at the same time. It's that way in our lives all the time. Jesus was a shoot from the stump of Jesse, right? Well, what does that mean? King David in the Old Testament. Jesus' followers were deeply rooted in Judaism. And the whole point was to send out new shoots and grow to the Gentiles in the world. Like the oak tree in my backyard. So listen to these memories from Clerk of Session Helen Perkerson. She says, I remember coming to Plymouth in September of 1968. Most of the church leaders seemed to be men. The women taught Sunday school. They worked in the kitchen. But after some investigating, I found there were a few women that took leadership roles. Well, Helen is right, and she became one of them. So you see how it works, right? Shirley Eaton became an elder in 1961, and there she is. Jean Newcomb Anderson in 1964. Some of these names might not mean as much to the more recent members. If you've been here a while, they evoke all kinds of stories, though. There's a story behind every one of these names that we said in the hymn. So whether they evoke stories for you or not, just listen to these names because they laid the foundation for what we're doing. And for the remembrance of one, Ida Lloyd Walrod, now gone to be with God, one of the first women elders at Plymouth Church. Well, after Shirley and Jean, Nancy Federici was installed in 1969 as an elder, then Ida Lloyd, and then Gail Clemmer, 1972, and there she is. Gail said, what? Yes, that's you. I'm talking about you. Helen Perkerson in 1976, Judy Dinsmore in 1977. 40 years have gone by since then, and here we are. Helen remembers the contributions of some of those early leaders to the first Habitat for Humanity house that was ever built in St. Helens or Columbia County. And she wrote this, Nancy Federici donated 2 vacant lots for the first 2 Habitat homes it ever built in Columbia County, which were in St. Helens. 1999 is when it happened. Several members were involved in making it a reality. Boyd and Leslie Ruby, Jennifer Anderson, all of whom at the time were members of Plymouth Presbyterian Church. Ida Mae Larson and Helen also worked on this house. The house that we started last week, when we dug through the muck and clipped down the bushes, involved some of the very same people. And a whole lot more new people. The new project will be, when we complete it, the completion of the 10th Habitat house ever built in St. Helens. This is the first time the whole community and 5 different churches, though, have cooperated together on a thing. So the point is, it's an example of doing an old thing in a new way, which is the whole point of All Saints Day. We've got to keep doing some of this stuff, but we've got to figure out new ways to do it in, and keeping it alive and fresh in our lives. So the redo is not just a redo, it's a renew. On All Saints Day, we remember the saints of the church. And among them, Ida Lloyd Walrod, who I already mentioned, other saints who've died who helped shape this congregation, Elmer Lloyd, the bell out there is in memory of him, which of course we rang recently in memory of Harold Scudder, the most recent to be with God from among our elders. All those in the opening hymn. In the Old Testament, in that scary reading that Doris read, Daniel refers to saints, but in a very different way. Daniel had a dream of beasts and monsters and all kinds of chaos on the earth. And in the dream, Daniel was reassured by God that the beasts and the monsters do not inherit the kingdom of God. They don't determine the fate of the future. The chaos around you or whatever challenges you have does not have the last word. The saints of God It is the saints who God will bless. That's what Daniel says. That's what his dream told him. And that's who gets to say what this future is all about. The future of you and me and the world and this church. So Halloween's over. That's behind us for another year. Remember, there is nothing scary about saints and spirits of those who've gone before and the ghosts who come to you at night. There is nothing scary about that. That's memory. What's scary is the beastliness of the world. But Daniel says that will be overcome. That's having faith. That's what God says to you and me. Sometimes that seems like it's impossible. Look around. Do you really, really have faith that God will have the last word in this crazy world? Do you? Why else are you here? We all need, according to Luke, just faith the size of a mustard seed, but we need that. And God will do the rest if we let that be alive in our lives. We've inherited this amazing church community. The world is in need of it. The work is never done. It just keeps coming year after year, like the bazaar, which is fabulous. And we're doing it a little different this year, like we always do. Faith, with faith, it's not just a redo, it's a renewal. So how do you think you'll be remembered when your picture's up here? Who will remember you? Hopefully, the shoots growing from this amazing rooted tree of faith. Amen.